You're listening to the Caffeinated Thoughts Podcast. Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart. Happy Reformation Day. 500 years ago, today on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses on the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church in Germany. And he turned Christendom and Western civilization on its head. I thought it'd be appropriate to talk about this and what the Reformation means for us today with Brian Myers, Senior Associate of CaffeinatedThoughts.com, and he's a church history buff, and he's an elder in his church, and I thought it would be fun to have a conversation with him. But before we get to that, first a word from our sponsors.
At American Principles Project, we believe that human dignity should be at the heart of public policy. We work in all 50 states and in Washington, D.C. to promote life, religious freedom, local control over education, authentic economic progress for working Americans, and a return to constitutional principles such as federalism. Want to help American Principles Project? Visit our website today, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. That's AmericanPrinciples, P-L-E-S, Project.org. Sign up for email updates. Help us out. We want to work with you. That's AmericanPrinciplesProject.org.
Hi, this is Shane Vanderhart, editor of Caffeinated Thoughts. Should something, heaven forbid, happen to you, will your family be ready? One of the most important things you can do for your family is to make sure they are provided for after you're gone. Whether you're currently without life insurance or you're not happy with your current plan, Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America can help. Give Travis a call at 515-883-0029. That's 515-883-0029. Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. He can help you find the life insurance you need. And we're back. And without further ado, here's my conversation with Brian Myers. Well, hey, Brian. Today's Reformation Day. And it's hard to believe. I mean, 500 years since Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the Wittenberg, that's how you should pronounce it, right? Wittenberg Castle.
Yeah, the door of the castle church.
Yeah. So, some people might be listening to this podcast and they're thinking, so what? Why is this important? Why should we remember this day? What does it mean for me today, in 2017?
Yeah, well, it has tons of significance, of course, both with respect to church history and church theology, really.
Yeah.
Virtually all of the Protestant denominations that we have today, which lamentably is
a lot.
Yeah. But they've all sprung forth because of what Luther and other men in the 16th century did in making their protests to the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And so over time there were quite a number of doctrines, extremely important doctrines, cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith, which were I won't say that they, that they all of a sudden appeared, but they had been lost in many ways and they were rediscovered and set forth. And so what we know today, in terms of evangelicalism, in every way, springs from this event that took place back in 1517.
And obviously, too, we need to give credit to other reformers, too, because there were reformers that preceded Martin Luther, but they obviously don't get the attention that he did because his stand and his writings really became kind of preeminent at the time.
And you're right. There were a number of them. We think of John Huss, John Wycliffe. There's also a guy whose life took place, I believe, in Italy, named Savonarola.
Yeah.
There's a number of these guys that were kind of ahead of their time, you might say. In pointing out some of the things which, came to the forefront during the Reformation in the 16th century.
And in terms of theology, I mean, you used a good word, rediscover, and it's actually where I wrote an article earlier before calling you called The Gospel Was Rediscovered 500 Years Ago.
There you go.
Because, yeah, they didn't, you know, they didn't invent this theology. It was something that always existed.
That's right.
And, you know, Martin Luther, he just kind of, you know, he had an aha moment, because I don't know if you remember much about his life, but he, you know, he struggled about his standing with God and whether or not he, you know, he was truly righteous, and he was reading, he was studying Romans and came across, you know, Romans 1:17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is as it is written, and then quoting this verse from Habakkuk, the righteous shall live by faith. And it's like, you know, it's like, aha, wait a minute.
Yeah, and, you know, Luther was not ignorant of all of Scripture, but it was this one particular verse, Romans 1:17, as you said, which was the means by which the Holy Spirit illuminated, if you will, Luther's mind. Yeah. And so for the first time, he really understood that his moral deeds didn't have anything to do with his justification, but it was that the righteousness of Jesus Christ was imputed to him by pure, unmerited grace through the instrumentality of faith.
Right.
And go ahead.
Yeah, well, and I was just reading, seeing this piece from, it was actually a transcription from a sermon that R.C. Sproul gave. And part of the problem, I think, for Luther was that he at first was really just looking at that verse in the Latin and not in the original Greek. He noticed, he noticed there was a linguistic trick that was going on here too. Sproul says, he says, and it was this, that the Latin word for justification that was used at this time in church history was, and it's the word from which we get the English word justification. The Latin word I'm not going to try to pronounce, but it came from the Roman judicial system, and the term, that term made up of the word justus, which is justice or righteousness, and the verb, the infinitive facere, which means to make. And so the Latin fathers understood the doctrine justification is what happens when God, through the sacraments of the church and elsewhere, make unrighteous people righteous. But Luther, he said, now looked at the Greek word, not in the New Testament, not the Latin word, that word dikaios, which didn't mean to make righteous, but rather to regard as righteous, to count as righteous, to declare as righteous. And he says, and it was this moment of awakening for Luther, that he said, you mean here Paul's not talking about righteousness by which God himself is righteous, but a righteousness that God gives freely by his grace to people who don't have righteousness of their own.
Right. Yeah, that gets back to what I said earlier, that the righteousness is not something that you go out and do, mm-hmm. or you go out and attain, but it, as you just pointed out, it is imputed.
Yeah, well, and what I, you know, in this view of justification too, the original, at least the view of justification at Luther's time, before he came to this realization, I'm just thinking of other scriptures, 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, "And he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God." You know, you kind of see it in that passage too. It's something that Christ did so that we become righteous, not something that we can do in and of ourselves. So,
right. In the parallel, excuse me, parable, not parallel, in the parable that Christ talks about, and if it's escaping my mind now exactly where this is at, but where he's using the parable of a wedding, mm-hmm. and he's talking about giving out these wedding garments. This is a picture of Christ giving to us his righteousness. As that wedding garment is not something that we make. It's not something that we earn. It's given to us freely.
Right. So out of the Reformation, what do you think is one of the most important things other than the gospel, obviously, came out of the Reformation?
Well, look, you know, you're familiar with the five solas,
right.
Sola Scriptura, sola fide, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the big doctrines that came out of the Reformation. Luther, in my estimation, probably had his greatest contributions in sola scriptura, or scripture alone, mm-hmm. and sola fide, faith alone. Which doesn't mean that he doesn't, you know, have plenty to say about, you know, the rest of it as well.
Right.
But I think his greatest contributions were as far as the scriptures alone and faith alone. These were radical, radical concepts, both of them, that you would actually talk about faith being the instrument all by itself, unmerited, with no works, that's the instrument by which we are saved. And also that our theology is derived from the scripture alone, as opposed to the traditions of the church, or you know, as Luther says in that movie that came out about 15 years ago, mere opinion.
Yeah.
So again, these are radical concepts.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, as we're on the topic of scripture, one of the greatest, you know, beyond theology, one of the greatest gifts that the reformers gave us is the scripture translated in the vernacular. I mean, that.
Right, 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 right. Good point. Great point.
And that's something that, you know, just one of the reasons why I think the people were so dependent on church teaching is, you know, very few people were necessarily literate, but then even then, very few were literate in Latin. And being able to read the scripture for the first time in their own language, I think was probably eye-opening for a number of people who could read at the time anyway. That and too, the printing press came along, which helped them mass produce, you know, the Bible more than, you know, it used to have to be transcribed, which would take forever.
Right.
I couldn't even imagine doing that. Could you?
Well, you're right. And that's such a critical point relative to this whole discussion. You know, you and I, Shane, we believe in the sovereign providence of God, and you can see his hand in the Reformation. He did not just raise up these great teachers, such as Luther and Calvin and some of the guys we've already mentioned. He didn't just raise those guys up. In addition to that, in his providence, he also had, coincidental to these men coming along, the invention of the printing press. And, it made the propagation of this rediscovered truth just immensely more comprehensive. I mean, these things were being writings and sermons, and the scriptures themselves are being, you know, mass produced for the first time.
Right.
And they're spreading all over Europe like wildfire. So you really see the hand of God in his providence in all of this.
So I'm just thinking, I wonder how Western civilization would have differed and what, you know,
wow,
it would look like had the Reformation not happened.
Wow, that's a incredible question. Look, I'm not prepared to say exactly, you know, how much truth there is in this, but I can remember reading where a guy by the name of Max Weber, earlier in the 20th century, had talked about the impact of Calvinism on American prosperity relative to what he called the Protestant work ethic. So, I mean, if we just look at, I mean, just purely, you know, from his perspective, you know, just purely from an economic point of view, it had a tremendous impact. But in addition to that, of course, then I think you can see the influence of Reformed theology relative to a number of positive influences throughout Western Europe, and certainly here in the United States.
Right.
Obviously, not all the founders were Christian, but the founders had been completely influenced by the the Christian culture that they were a part of. That's evident from the things that they wrote.
Yeah.
So, you know, how much can we say, you know, Western culture developed in a positive way, specifically because of the Protestant Reformation? It's difficult to quantify that, but it was a huge impact. It would be unrecognizable.
Definitely.
Our culture would be, Western culture would be completely unrecognizable without the Reformation.
So, you know, and kind of wrap things up here, because I promise only take about 15 minutes of your time today.
We have done this before.
Yes.
Just thought I'd point that out.
Yes, we have. a millennial is looking at this. Oh, 500 years ago, that was like, you know, oh, so long ago. Why does it matter? In a nutshell, why should we care? Why should we continue to talk about this day? Why should this still remain of central importance?
Well, we've really already touched on those things. First of all, it's the rediscovery, if you will. We keep using that word, but I think it's a reasonable one to use. Rediscovery of these central truths, rediscovery of the gospel by faith in Jesus Christ alone, and then subsequently, the development of theology into a comprehensive worldview which affected the whole of life.
Right.
So if you want to know why Western civilization looks like it does today, well, let me rephrase that. How its development came about, and some of the things that are being attacked today. Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Right.
You have to take into consideration the Protestant Reformation. It was just enormously impactful on the way people approached so many things, and developed a number of the institutions and laws that we have today that are unfortunately really under attack.
And I think most importantly too, what was true 500 years ago is still true today.
That's right.
And is no matter how much our faith is being attacked and maligned dismissed in our culture, we can stand on these truths. And ultimately, again, bring up the word rediscover. We rediscover the good news, and Jesus Christ still saves sinners.
That's right.
This Reformation Day, hopefully, it'll spark, we'll remember that the gospel needs to remain central in our churches and our worship and our lives.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about this much. I think we hinted at it a little bit, but the lamentable thing, of course, is that the desire, certainly of John Calvin, the desire was that we would have a single, unified Protestant church.
Right.
Much like he was familiar of thinking about in terms of the Roman Church. That was his hope, and unfortunately that did not happen because there were some severe disagreements between, at least in the beginning, primarily between Zwingli and Luther, and it's a bit of a tragedy now that we are so fragmented, and I mean we are unbelievably fragmented.
Yeah, we could blame.
And I know. Say again.
We could blame Baptists.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I think there's plenty of blame to go around, and I know it's one of the things that serious Roman Catholics have criticized in the past, we certainly deserve that criticism.
Yeah, obviously, some of the division is over some legitimate theological distinctives.
Yes, indeed.
Some of it's just petty.
I don't mean to suggest that these differences aren't irrelevant. I hope I haven't left you with that impression.
Right. Right. I understand what you meant. Well, hey, Brian, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it, and hope you have a good week.
Well, you too, buddy. It strikes me that we ought to do this more often.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, this is our official. This will be our 10th podcast since we went to a podcast form rather than the radio program. So it's,
you've been staying busy.
I have been. So it's been good. So yeah, definitely have you on. We'll just.
Now I have participated in one way or another in three of those podcasts. So I'm yes, carrying a little water.
That is true. That is true.
All right. All right, buddy. Good talking with you. Take care.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that concludes our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you happen to be listening to this podcast using a third-party app like iTunes, I'd like to encourage you to please check out our website, caffeinatedthoughts.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Sign up for our email so you don't miss a single update. This is Shane Vanderhart, and until next time, my friends, take care.